This week on What's Going On with Earl Ingram, I am joined by Sean Fetterplace from Main Street Alliance to discuss the real challenges facing America's small business. From the impacts of Project 2025 and the government shutdown to rising tax burdens and why so many small businesses struggle to survive their first year. Follow us on civicmedia.us or wherever you find your podcast. Please also like and subscribe so you don't miss the conversation. Open for
the arms of What's going on with Earl Ingram? I am honored and privileged to have my guest, Mr. Sean Fetterplace. He is the campaign director of Main Street Alliance. Main Street Alliance is over 30,000 small businesses owners across the nation. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Wanted to talk a little bit with you about all the different changes and the dynamics that have been happening under the Trump administration and the impact on small businesses. Everything seems to be turned upside down and inside out. What impact is it having on small businesses?
Yeah, so what I would say is that when the Trump administration took office back in January of this year, they got to work pretty fast. This administration is quite a bit different than the first term. In the first term, I think a lot of folks didn't necessarily expect him to win. So a lot of folks who ended up working in the White House were more from the sort of traditional Republican Party apparatus, folks who were for small government, low taxes, et cetera, but generally were a little bit more, I would say, professional, a little bit more serious people. And, you know, this administration, Project 2025, clearly laid the groundwork as they got in. So they broke stuff a lot faster with a lot of velocity. And so for the first thing they did was the federal funding freeze, which impacted a lot of our members because some members receive government money for investments or lending or things. You have the federal layoffs where the SBA has been absolutely hollowed out by DOGE and by the administration. You have cuts to health care that are happening, the tariffs. We had some members up at the Supreme Court the other day speaking out about the impact. And so this is, I would argue, the most hostile administration in U.S. history towards small business. But we're fighting back to make sure to hold them accountable and to hopefully make sure that we have lawmakers not cutting our health care, not increasing tariffs, and making sure that we're getting policies that make sense for Main Street.
Well, you know, small businesses a struggle constantly as it is for resources, and in a great economy with what is transpiring now, got to be certainly life or death for many who can't get access to resources. I don't know. Can you? What I'm saying is, small businesses constantly are struggling for resources in this country. Always have been, and under the policies of the Trump administration, and looking at what has been transpiring, how the survival rate for small businesses, especially at this time of the year, must be kind of outlandish. How are they surviving?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of small business owners are pretty scrappy, but you can only be so scrappy. And so we have members already that have gone out of business because of the tariffs. We have members who may end up deciding to close up shop if we don't get these healthcare cuts undone. Governor Evers and the Office of the Insurance Commissioner in the state did an assessment of how much rates are going to go up because of the big, ugly law. And as an example, in Eau Claire, which I'll note is in Derek Van Orden's congressional district, a married couple at 60, making $80,000 a year combined, so that's under the national average, their premiums will go up by $32,000 a year. That's not an exaggeration. I did double check the numbers. That's what the impact is. And so I think it's going to be very, very difficult. There was also massive, they essentially closed the Community Development Financial Institution Fund, too, which funds a lot of like the Black Chambers, the Hmong Chambers, a lot of organizations that do lending in communities that have historically been underserved, which is going to be, in some cases, a death sentence for many folks who otherwise won't be able to get access to capital. And so it really is quite damaging. And, you know, there was the election results the other day in Virginia and New Jersey and New York and other parts of the country that shows that people are upset about what's going on and they want to see a change.
You know, people have every right to be upset about what's going on. Anytime someone takes the initiative to start a small business, the success rate long term for them isn't the greatest, even in the best of economies. But looking at an economy like the one we're talking about right now, it's got to be, you know, because people take the resources that they've worked hard for and that they use for their own lives and they invest that. And so as I watch it, and I see it even in the city where I live, where small businesses are shutting down shops left and right. And small businesses are really kind of like the backbone of the nation as far as employment. Is that right?
Yeah. In Wisconsin, 99% of all businesses are small businesses. And in the last 3 months, nationally, 88,000 jobs at small businesses have been lost. And I think you're seeing that here in our own state. And when you speak about, you know, sort of the survival rate of a lot of these businesses, in the first 2 years, 20% of businesses fail or go into bankruptcy. By year five, it's typically 50%. And that's part of the process. Some businesses will have good business plans. They'll have good circumstances. Maybe they started the business at the right time, given the sort of trajectory of the economy. And so some of it's a little bit luck and timing related. But some of it's just like whether or not they have an idea that works and others that don't. And that's just part of the process. However, there were over 20 million new small businesses that have been formed across the country since 2020. It's one of the highest growths in the history of the country. And that's a good thing in so much that there's a lot of entrepreneurship and people are doing that. On the other hand, it means that there's going to be a lot of businesses that as we enter a downturn are really going to struggle. And it's going to have more of an impact than it would have given the huge amount of new folks in those businesses. And a lot of folks, they start those businesses because maybe they got laid off during COVID. Maybe they want to do something that gave them more flexibility. A lot of those business owners are women and folks that needed that flexibility and wanted to take a risk on themselves and their ideas. And we should do what we can to help support them.
You know, Sean, if you're just joining us, Mr. Sean Fetterplace is the campaign director for Main Street Alliance. And Main Street Alliance is over 30,000 small business owners in this nation. You mentioned a downturn in this economy that is coming. And it's been kind of held off for over the last, I can't remember the last time that this nation has gone over almost a decade without there being a recession. And so it's kind of safe to say that with what's coming, it's going to be a long, horrible, painful downturn in the economy. How do you buttress small businesses to prepare for that?
So I would say, first off, I know Governor Tony Evers is doing everything he can within his power to help. We were on the SNAP case. We were plaintiffs in that case. There's a court case in Rhode Island going on right now. And that's an example where, you know, it's just fundamentally cruel to take away food from the mouths of children. But it's also damages local small businesses to not have that revenue as well to be able to support what they're doing. And so it really, you know, I would say if you look at the economic numbers, jobs numbers have been really quite bad. We don't know what they are. Actually, a jobs report is supposed to be coming out in 4 minutes, but it's not because of the shutdown. I do think they could have kept those people on and they just chose not to because they know they're getting bad news. And so you have that aspect and also the tariffs. a lot of folks had been selling existing inventory at their businesses. And so they were charging the normal amount and they were waiting to see what was going to happen. And so there's been a lot of absorption of those increases, which I think has contributed to the 88,000 small business jobs lost over the course of the last 3 months. But I think what you're going to see is the dam's going to start to break and people are going to have to raise prices in order to make just even break even. And so you're going to see huge increases in inflation. You also are seeing the impacts of the healthcare cuts. And it's just like a lot of this chaos is going to contribute to us. Like right now, the sort of GDP numbers, so to speak, have shown that we're continuing to grow. But I think it's a little bit of a mirage because there's this, you know, I think a lot of the reality of what's happening is going to be setting in over the next few months.
I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the misery and pain of 88,000 small businesses, which really is going to be magnified in the coming months. And in many of the small towns, those are the heartbeat. They're the backbones of those towns and cities. You know, how are people going to, I mean, it's not like they may have a Walmart or they may have, you know, a CVS or those things, but really the heartbeat of many small communities are the small businesses. So what happens to the communities when the small businesses suffer in a manner? It's not like we haven't seen this before. I think what is really so alarming is the magnitude of what we see coming. It's like a tsunami that we see coming, Sean, that, yeah, you know, we can't stop. Am I seeing this in the wrong light?
I think you're right. I mean, I'll just use an example of driving around parts of Western Wisconsin. Richland Center is an example. They got a Walmart and they have some great small businesses downtown, but they have a lot fewer than they used to.
Right.
You go to Viroqua, and Viroqua is interesting because there was a ATM manufacturer there that closed a number of years ago. And this woman named Sue Noble, you know, it was like 100 jobs in a town of 5,000. So it would have been absolutely devastating. And she got to work and she applied for grant programs and she raised money and she worked with businesses to take the facility to like install kitchens. She installed loading docks. She did a lot of that work. And now there's like 25 thriving small businesses that use that facility and all work together. But it's also literally right across the field from a Walmart. And I think that it's, so there's good things happening to be resilient in these communities, but it also, there's a giant sucking sound of money. You know, Walmart, you know, that money isn't staying in the community other than the people who are being paid there, but the actual profits are going off to Arkansas as opposed to staying in Viroqua. So it's important that folks, you know, during this sort of holiday season, as folks are struggling and small businesses, is shop local, buy gift cards, do what you can to help support them as they're trying to get through this period.
You know, Sean, small businesses, the success rate of them, it's not very good, and people who start small businesses, they're pretty gritty people. They don't give up. I mean, they may lose one, but their belief and their whole life is about being in business. They create another. They create another. How successful are those who start small businesses? And the success rate is not great the first time around, is it?
No, it's not. And I would say that the average small business owner in this country makes about $50,000 a year. That's the national average. I would say, I mean, it depends on where you live. I mean, if you live in Madison or Milwaukee, I mean, that's you know, you're going to struggle to pay a mortgage. You're going to struggle to, especially if you have kids in childcare or other things. I mean, even though, I mean, costs are high, right? So that can eat into that pretty fast. And so, and I would say that whether or not a business fails or not is somewhat dependent on the person. I mean, for example, you know, if you have a good business plan, if you have good staff, if you have a good idea. However, there are things that are being done right now that are totally outside the control of those business owners. Those business owners did not choose to have tariffs imposed on them without their knowledge or consent. And so it's, I think, very very frustrating for a lot of those business owners because they're doing everything they can. They're working 20 hours a day trying to keep things going. But it feels like they have a giant sort of stone on their back keeping them down.
You know, Sean, when we talk about healthcare, the cost of healthcare, and to think that a small business person has to pay for the cost of healthcare, I mean, I'm just knowing what it costs, you know, and you're a person who relies on that the Obama, what is the term I'm looking for?
The subsidy.
To pull that away, it doesn't get any crueler than that, does it? Because the average small business owner, what, employs two people? Three?
Yeah, it's not much. There's a lot of sole proprietors out there who rely on that insurance, and that's the only way they can get access to insurance. Because the legislative Republicans and then former Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, didn't take Medicare expansion. People can go into the marketplace, but the coverage is not as good as what they could get if we had enhanced Medicare. And so you have that aspect. A lot of business owners, when they first get started, don't pay themselves a whole lot. Because they're putting all their cash flow back into the business so it can succeed. And so in some cases, I mean, I'll just use an example. TJ Samanchin, who owns Wonder State Coffee, which has locations across the state and does wholesale, his family was on Medicare when he first got started. That's an example of the importance of the program. But also Katie Rose, who's a member in, she has a wonderful restaurant called Good Kind in Bayview in Milwaukee. She had a cancellation letter from Common Ground Cooperative, which is an insurance company that provided coverage in the marketplace in Wisconsin. And because of the big ugly law, they actually are pulling out of Wisconsin completely because they don't think they can be profitable as a result of that. And Katie actually, 2 days after getting the cancellation letter, was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And she did an interview with WTMJ talking about her story. She recently had surgery. She seems to be doing okay. But what is she going to do on January 1 when the new rates go into effect? And whether or not she's going to be able to afford it for her ongoing treatment. So it's just like this stuff is real. It's not just the money. It's like the impact on people's health.
You know, Sean, as I listen to the other side of this debate on, well, we'll deal with health care after we reopen the government. And the fact that they've had an opportunity to address health care. You brought up Medicare. And man, for people who don't know, Medicare is probably one of the best insurances that one could have. I spent 34 years in the auto industry and many years ago. And when our company left, they worked out a deal with Medicare that would carry us from my age until Medicare. Medicare was the best insurance that one of the best insurances I ever had. And so when Scott Walker and the Republicans did everything within their power to kill Medicare, it was then that I realized, you know, if people really understood, right, Sean, things are happening around people that they just really don't understand. And if we were able to, you know, explain to people the impact of healthcare, the cost of healthcare. I'm 71 years old, but for someone, you're a young guy, I'm looking at you, I can tell you got a long way to go before you can see Medicare, if Medicare will still be around. They got to fix healthcare. At the root of all of these things is healthcare. And as I listen to Republicans say, well, Barack Obama and the Democrats had a chance to fix it. Well, no, they never gave the Democrats what they really wanted to do with health care because they needed 60 votes. So they had to settle. Is it safe to say that, sir?
Yeah. So I think the first a lot of discussion about healthcare is not based on facts. So here's the facts. The Affordable Care Act, first off, expansion of Medicaid across the country covered tens of millions of people. That was, like, without qualification, a great thing. I think the marketplace issue, so it's actually interesting. The two places where a lot of the ideas that inform the Affordable Care Act to get to 60 votes were Mitt Romney and the Heritage Foundation.
Right.
So it's ostensibly a conservative bill in many ways that has been improved over the years. It's still a long way to go. But during the Biden administration, the amount of people in the marketplace, because they made it more affordable, went from 11 million to 22 million. It literally doubled during the Biden administration. And a lot of people were lower income during the Biden administration could get a plan for $0 and a $0 deductible, which is pretty good. I mean, most people don't have that. So it's that said, there's still a lot of gap for those folks who are like middle income or maybe like middle upper, but, you know, living in a high cost of living area where the costs were an issue. Sure. But what I would say is that healthcare is expensive. There's a lot of middlemen in the healthcare industry, like PBMs, pharmacy managers. There's a lot of things that could be done to crack down on a lot of profiteering that happens within the healthcare industry that could help make it more affordable. But we also need to think about, you know, what can we do to get a public option? What can we do to increase competition for these insurance companies that are making tens of billions of dollars a year? One thing that really frustrates me is you hear right now Republicans saying, well, Obamacare has failed. No, it hasn't. Tens of millions of people get coverage from it. But what they say is, like, we need to do it over and come up with some other idea. They've had 15 years to come up with another idea, and they haven't done so. And furthermore, they're saying, well, we need to change it now. It's like, this is impacting people right now. Open enrollment is open. It's been open for 6 days. People are seeing the rates. They go into effect January 1. This is happening as we speak. So having some esoteric talk about what we should do, it's what are we doing right now to avoid this disaster? And that's what everybody should be contacting their Republican lawmakers to ask.
You know, Sean, insanity in the way they're approaching this is it's going to cost, if people don't have health insurance, it means they wind up at the emergency. This is an old conversation. It's not new. They wind up at the emergency. The emergency basically unloads, you know, everything, and they're going to run every test known to man on a person that has insurance, Medicare, but those who don't have insurance, they wind up, the hospitals by law have to see these people. And so long term, it's going to cost the nation more by not dealing with the issue and doing prevention. Why is it, Sean? I mean, I'd be asking you this. You're on the right side of the issue and the right side of the debate. But why is it that they can't see that? And because of the way they're looking at this, they're the reason that we're untenable situation that we're in now.
Yeah, what I would say is, so there's been some attacks on the ACA by Republicans saying that the enhanced subsidies were going towards undocumented immigrants. The argument that they're using is the thing you're saying about having to be admitted to the ERs. But do you know who did the admission to the ER rule?
The Republicans.
Is Ronald Reagan. During the Reagan administration, that was made mandatory to make sure that nobody died on the footsteps of a hospital. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay. First off, it's just not true. Second off, I just think that it's all about political gain for them and not about what they need to do. And I also think that they just haven't come up with a better idea than the ACA. Like, I personally feel like the better idea than the ACA is to move in the direction of a more public-based program. And I think that if they continue to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, that's the direction we're going to eventually end up having to go, because the insurance industry is going to collapse. And so I just think it's really disingenuous by them. It's not based on facts. And frankly, I think a certain amount of them just don't believe that everyone deserves to have health care, that you somehow have to earn the right to have health insurance or health care in this country. And that's just a fundamental values difference, where my organization and myself believe that everyone is entitled, everyone should have the ability to live and be healthy, and that we as a society in the richest country in the history of the world have an obligation to make that happen.
So we're getting ready to wrap this up, but I have to ask you, the holidays are upon us. What do you want to say to people who are listening about the importance of, at this time and whenever you can, I don't care how much it is, you've got to certainly spend some money with small businesses, right?
So I would say first off, donate to your local food pantries while the SNAP stuff gets sorted out. Cash is always best, but if you have excess shelf-stable stuff, definitely do that. Because that's important, and there's some small business owners who are low income enough that they potentially will be impacted by that. I would say second off, purchasing gift cards, going to support local businesses, going to local restaurants, and just like really invest in those places that are investing in your community instead of just what's going to the shareholders of the larger corporation. So, I think this is not me being favorable to these companies, just like a few examples. I don't want to get in trouble, but Fortune Favors, they sell nuts in Madison. They're a great shop. I think in Milwaukee, I definitely will check out some of the Bayview and some of the Southside and Northside restaurants and businesses that could use some of that support, especially in the Sherman sort of neighborhood. And across the state, just make sure that you're focusing on those local places and encouraging others, not just doing it yourself, but encouraging others to do so as well as we enter the holiday season.
So really, when you invest in those small businesses, you're really investing in America, right? I mean, really, you're investing in those mom and pop shops that really were the backbone of our nation and have been for a long, long time. Mom and pop may be gone, but there are people who are in there now who saw the same thing that mom and pop saw 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and they're keeping that tradition alive. So we just got to make sure that people understand that instead of walking right past them, and I'm guilty of it myself at times, stop and go in. There are interesting things in these shops, and they're a little bit different than what you'll see in other places.
Yeah, I would say spend your money on businesses that are investing in their people, not those who are spending money to build Trump's ballroom.
Well, that's a good place to leave it. I really appreciate you taking the time out with us. We got to reconnect as this thing starts to unravel and unwind. For people can hear from a person of your stature, for reassurance, to let people know that we still hold the cards, right? The American people still hold the cards.
We do. And if you want to join us in this fight to push back and to get better policy, go to mainstreetalliance.org.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
You too. Have a good day.
Sean Fetterplace, Main Street Alliance. See you next time.